Okay, welcome to Simple English Listening, where we talk about different topics in simpler English. Today, I'm joined with my wonderful guest, Fritz.
Hi there.
Once again. And we will reminisce, we will remember with a smile on our face, our trip to Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to Napoli, the Amalfi Coast, and Ursina, a lovely village, and we'll talk to you about that trip. But remember, hit the bell to subscribe so you do not miss any new episodes of this podcast. And remember, you can hear all of the Simple English Listening episodes as podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, all the major podcast apps. And if you like seeing pictures and watching us, you can watch the YouTube video. So Fritz, when I arrived, well, let's quickly talk about where we are. Look at this beautiful
view. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Can you guess? We are, some of you may know, in Vietnam. That's where we live. We are English teachers in Vietnam. And this is actually the highest altitude, the highest part of Vietnam. It's a school holiday right now, and the end of the semester has been, and we can't fly anywhere.
No,
so we have to stay in Vietnam and make the most out of the 3.5 weeks off.
Yeah, but it's not that bad at all, to be honest.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Behind us here is Mount Fansipan, which is actually the highest peak in all of Indochina. And Indochina is Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. You can see rice paddies. Yeah. Okay, well, so there's this beautiful setting. Let's continue our podcast. So before I got to Italy, you were already there, right?
Yes, I made a short trip on my own. Mm-hmm. I went to Rome first, I think for about 5 nights. Absolutely loved it. So many ancient and historical structures.
Ancient means very, very old, thousands of years old, ancient, yeah.
Yeah, which was amazing to see. Yeah, and I also made a really short trip to Florence, which is also a really beautiful city in Italy.
What was the most impressive thing you saw in Rome, would you say?
Ooh, wow, there were so many things. But probably walking around the Colosseum was probably the most impressive thing. Yeah. And just imagining all those people sitting there centuries ago.
Yeah, if you watched, of course, the famous movie Gladiator, you know.
Yeah.
Are you entertained? Yeah. Seeing that Colosseum, of course. And you can imagine the tigers and all the prisoners and the Christians back then, put out to be killed, eaten by lions, cut up by gladiators. Different times, different times to now.
And obviously also the pizza.
The pizza, okay. Pizza is from Napoli, in fact. Well, we'll come back to pizza after.
We probably mentioned pizza quite a couple of times.
We had probably on average, 2 pizzas a day? Like 1.5 pizzas a day, like 1 or 2 every day. And of course, everyone in Italy has a slightly different style of pizza. First off, let's talk about the Amalfi Coast. Very blue water. That's what I remember. Yeah, extremely blue. And it's a mountainous landscape.
Yeah.
Right? With small little villages dotted around.
Yeah, and it's a very popular tourist location for Italians, and I believe for many Europeans as well. Yeah. It was very crowded, but very beautiful. I did enjoy it.
It was possibly a bit too touristy, actually. Yeah. We had to basically fight to get onto 3 buses. You know, it was those buses brought out the worst in human nature. It's packed.
Well, eventually I decided just to walk, really, and to see as many things as possible and not too much.
Walk to maintain your human dignity. Yeah.
And completely block out buses from
it's very
holiday.
Expensive too, the Amalfi Coast. You know, rich people go there.
A lot of rich people.
More so than the Adriatic Coast, which is the other side of Italy. So our first stop was Ravello?
Ravello, yes. Ravello. It's just up the mountain from the town Amalfi.
Beautiful view. Nothing else I can remember. I'll probably edit that out even. Yeah. There's literally nothing else to say.
Yeah.
Then we went... Okay, so we went to Sorrento. Sorrento is a town right next to Napoli.
Yes.
I went to the restaurant with the first cannelloni. Maybe you know cannelloni. It's a famous Italian dish. Rolled pasta with a ricotta cheese and spinach inside.
Yeah.
Tomato sauce and, you know, cheese on top. So they invented cannelloni at this restaurant we went to. I think that's what I remember most about there.
Yeah, it was really good. A massive restaurant as well.
And then on the train to Napoli, we stopped by Pompeii. Mm. Maybe you know of Pompeii. Maybe you've seen the pretty bad movie, which was released about 5 years ago. But also, I'm sure you've seen the images of people frozen as the clouds of ash, hundreds and thousands of miles an hour, just swept over the village. There's a volcanic eruption there. People are frozen in all these different positions. I was amazed at how big Pompeii was.
Yeah, I don't even think we saw everything. And we were walking around for about 4 hours.
I thought it was maybe just a small city outside of Napoli. Yeah. But it must have been one of the biggest cities in ancient Italy.
During that time, definitely.
I feel like I could walk across the middle of Rome quicker than Pompeii, maybe not, but it's pretty big.
Yeah, it felt really big, yeah.
In Pompeii, there was a Colosseum, there's a big marketplace, and the band Pink Floyd, famous psychedelic 60s, 70s rock band from the UK, they played a very famous concert there. It was a live show, but there was nobody in the audience. It's in the middle of the Colosseum in Pompeii with all lights. It's very famous. If you like rock music, check it out.
Yeah, they have a museum about pretty much that whole show there.
But yeah, they have a museum just dedicated to that one 70s rock show. Interesting facts about Pompeii. Okay. Nobody knows the exact date of the volcanic eruption when the volcano went exploded. But people died pretty much instantly. The whole city was wiped out. So Pompeii was originally Greek, a Greek city. Actually, lots of the south of Italy was colonized by Greece, which is why the Roman gods are based on the Greek gods. Pompeii, the explosion was from Mount Vesuvius, which you can see from Napoli. One of the interesting things about Pompeii was the words, like the Roman numerals, like the graffiti, because these are thousands of years old and people can understand what they say. Okay, next we get to Napoli. Napoli is a extremely extravagant and dynamic and beautiful city. A famous saying is see Napoli and die. It was the capital of its own country from 1282 to 1816, the Kingdom of Naples. And then it was part of the two Sicilies and again was the capital until Italy came together in 1861. Italy is in fact quite a young country. It consisted of four different countries that all came together. Kingdom of Sardinia, the Kingdom of Venice, the Papal State with Rome in it, and the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies. And these all came together in 1861. One thing we noticed in Italy, there's very different dialects there.
Yes, yeah. I was quite surprised by that. I thought everybody spoke the same version of Italian.
But the Neapolitan dialect, it has different words for like very basic verbs and numbers. And they say Italy has over 80 different dialects, but they all speak to each other in standard Italian. And standard Italian is actually the dialect of Florence. There's a famous Renaissance writer called Dante, And he, apparently, he decided that the most beautiful of all the Italian dialects that he knew was the Florence dialect. So he chose that dialect to do some of his most famous works, such as Dante's Inferno, the Divine Comedy. There's some famous ones. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed to catch on in some way. And now Italy, in the textbooks in schools, you learn standard Italian, which is the Florence Italian, and you speak your own dialect too. So most people in Italy are bilingual in their own local language and standard Italian. And nowadays, many of them in English, like you guys, for example. Wikipedia says exactly what I just said. Sometimes I don't know if what I'm saying is true or not. But it actually is, yeah. So, Fritz, what do you remember about Napoli?
I remember... What I enjoyed actually most about Napoli was just walking around the city, to be honest, and seeing what is around. Some beautiful old churches, some lovely restaurants, some beautiful markets, and basically just seeing how locals go about their day.
Yeah.
It was very fascinating.
And I remember our final night there, we walked along the harbor front, the port front.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Many beautiful restaurants there. And actually, my father is from Napoli. And randomly, his cousin Facebooked me, saying, I am your second cousin. And I asked him, like, well, when's the last time you saw my father, your first cousin? And he said it was waving goodbye to him in 1955.
Wow.
Because back then, when all the ships went from Napoli and across Europe to the New World, they went to Canada, my dad's family. Back then, goodbye was really goodbye. Yeah. You didn't have the same. Now you can just fly anywhere. But I think my grandfather, after they left Italy, after my dad's family left Italy in 1955, he went back to Italy, I think, only twice for the rest of his life. I mean, they were quite... poor, they didn't have much money. Many Italian immigrants going to the New World, say in Canada, America, Australia. Their jobs did not pay a lot. Lots of them did like labor, factory working, construction, these kinds of jobs. So yeah, the last time this second cousin who contacted me on Facebook saw my dad was in that very port that we had that pizza.
Yes, and we also had a view of Mount Vesuvius.
That's
actually.
Right, yeah. And I could imagine my dad's family waving goodbye 50 years previous. Yeah. And actually, he rang, and I was like,
oh, yeah, you spoke on the phone, yeah.
He happened to ring at that time. Yeah. Like, hey, Dad, guess who I am? You know, do you remember here with Mount Vesuvius in the background? He's like, I don't know, I think so. So here, Neapolitans, they love their city, and they identify as being Neapolitan. Over Italian, so one Neapolitan friend said. And I think it's because it was its own capital for over 800 years, so it's still really has its own identity. Napoli being part of Italy is quite new, basically. Interesting fact about Naples, it is one of the oldest continuously inhabited urban areas in the world. So people have lived there continuously, meaning without stopping. People have lived there since the 9th century BC, so 900 years before
Christ. So nearly 3,000 years.
Nearly 3,000 years people have been living in an urban, a kind of city-type town there for that long.
Wow.
Yeah. So pizza, of course. They're very proud their pizza there. You eat the margherita. The margherita is just tomato, cheese, and that's it. It's just how to perfect those very simple ingredients. Crust, tomato, cheese. I went to Naples with some Italian friends, you know, a few years ago, and I wanted a pepperoni pizza. And they said I was not allowed to have a pepperoni pizza. Because I have to have the margherita, the classic. The doors.
Oh, the doors. Yes.
Insanely big doors there. Quite literally, it four times the height of you.
Yes.
There'll be a picture for those who are watching the video. Do you remember why?
I do remember, actually.
Ah, okay.
So the bigger doors were for if someone stopped outside with a carriage.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring a whole carriage in. And then there was a smaller door as well.
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out why the big door has a smaller door in its frame. And apparently it was for security reasons. Just to let in one person at a time, it's easier to defend rather than letting a whole army in.
We didn't know how to get into the building. Then we just opened that small door.
Yes. It was quite interesting.
Yeah, it was good fun. Yeah, so pizza, it says the very first pizzeria in Italy and in the entire world is Antica Pizzeria Portalba and was opened in Naples in 1830 and it still remains open today. So the earliest known pizzeria ever is still open today. And it was in Naples where they created the Margherita Pizza. It's named after Queen Margherita Teresa Giovanni after she visited Naples. Interesting.
Interesting.
There are some castles in Naples.
Yes, I remember the castles now as well.
Big, beautiful castles. A legend says that there is a famous egg buried in Castel dell'Uovo. And Castel dell'Uovo is translated, it means egg castle. So the castle is named after an egg, which is buried under the ground there in the castle somewhere. And the egg is magic. That's right. It's a magic egg that contains protective powers. I don't know if that means if you become like a superhero, if you touch the egg or...
You can fly or...
You can fly
or... Very strong.
Or you can time travel.
See through walls.
Yeah, exactly. Probably. Something like that. Such a powerful weapon that they need a castle to defend this one egg. And then we finished the trip going to a house, which is a house in my family, because my father's Italian, in a beautiful village in the south called Ircina. It's in the province of Basilicata, which is the most sparsely populated province in all of Italy. Sparse means there are not many people. Densely populated is when many, many people live together. Sparsely populated is the opposite. Actually, Napoli is the most densely populated part of Italy.
Oh, okay.
And Basilicata, at the end, is the most sparsely populated part of Italy. It's a small village of about 3,000 people upon a hilltop. Very high city walls. Because back then you wanted to be high. Why do you want to be high again for a town?
It's easier to protect yourself.
Of course, easier to protect yourself.
Against invaders.
Invaders.
Yeah.
And there's been many invaders in Italy over the years, including the Normans, Vikings. Lots of the south of Italy was occupied by Normans, including this small village. And like lots of the south of Italy, it's empty all year round. Many of the youths in all these small, beautiful villages around Italy, they leave to work. They work in Rome, in Bologna, in Parma, in Milan. They all come back every August. And it's like a big holiday and the whole country seems to be off in August. And everyone goes back to their small little towns around Italy. They have festivals and they have that tradition where they carry their patron saint on the shoulders.
And I remember something about a hand.
Yeah, that's right.
You said something about a hand with the festival?
So every village has their own saint. Yeah. A saint is somebody who is important in... that village in their Christianity. And this saint of this small town, Ursina, her name is Eufemia. And Eufemia, she was thrown to the lions when she was, I believe, 17. And all that remains of this for being a Christian, and she refused to give up her faith. So they threw her to the lions. And all that remains is like a skeleton hand. Every summer, the town, it's a small town of like 2,000-3,000 people. But in the summer and during this festival,
there are lots of people.
Yeah, it swells to like maybe 5,000 to 10,000 people. All the people have come back. And they have a big parade around the town. So they walk around the town together and they hold the statue of the saint. And there's a small glass jar, the skeleton arm, the actual real person who died many hundreds of years ago. Well, I'm sure over 1,000 years ago. Yeah. She was thrown to the lions. But the lifestyle there. I remember you were on the balcony and I couldn't get you down and you were just sitting there.
I was in the balcony just looking over my kingdom.
yeah.
Which was Ercina.
You had your red wine, your cheese, and your olives.
The views, yeah, the views were amazing.
Yeah.
And obviously, yes, getting some meat from the butcher, some local cheeses, local wines was amazing. Just going to each little shop, buying your things and just sitting there and enjoying the Italian lifestyle in a very small town, which is probably the most authentic way of doing it.
They say like the real Italian way, the real traditional way. They all have a certain rhythm of life there. All shops close at about 12 o'clock and they reopen at 4:30 p.m. Everyone has lunch, a big lunch, and they sleep. And they go back to work at 4:30. And the kids run outside and play. 12 to 4, the town is deserted. Deserted meaning there's nobody there. You can't see anyone. Everyone's just disappeared into their houses. And then people come out, they work, and the older people, they also just walk around the town for a little bit, and then they have dinner, and they go out for a little while, and they walk around town, and they all just say hello to their neighbors. They call it la passeggiata. The passeggiata means just the walk around. And you walk around or they slowly drive around and say ciao. And they say hello to all of their neighbors.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. And I feel they've been living that way for hundreds of years. And it's still alive in the small towns in the south.
Yeah, we started doing that, actually.
Yeah.
After being there a couple of days, walking around, saying hello.
Yeah, we'd go out at 6 o'clock, and again after dinner, just walking around, saying hello to your neighbours. And you could have like a 20-minute walk back to your house or accommodation, and it'll take you like an hour, because so many people say, hey, ciao, buongiorno, come stai? How are you doing? How's the family? Blah, blah, blah. And you're expected to kind of talk to everyone. It's a very social way of life. And old people are very social there. I would say unlike society in the UK, I feel, unfortunately, and Canada and other countries where I feel, older people are a bit more forgotten about, kind of left in a home. I think that's quite sad. But they have a very social and active life.
Definitely.
Places like the south of Italy and Mediterranean cultures and many other places in the world, I'm sure. We went to a small art exhibition, right?
In town, yes.
And I remember there we met some...
It was actually organized by a couple of foreigners, actually.
Yeah, there's a few...
That were living there.
There's a few expats there. Strangely enough. There. Expats meaning... Expatriate, meaning foreigner who now lives in another country... an expat, and they had organized an art exhibition, and we looked over the countryside, and one of them said to us that everything we eat and everything we drink in this village, we can see the farm in which it's from. Oh, we can see the land on which it's grown. Lots of natural produce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another thing about this small town, I love how, and I'm sure there's towns around the world like this, that small town mentality, that small town mindset, wherein everybody kind of knows each other. If it's a friendly atmosphere, it's a beautiful thing. Like in Ercina, it's like that. You just see people that you know like 3-4 times a day. So that's today's casual chat for you. We remembered our trip to Italy. We reminisced.
Mm-hmm.
To reminisce is a verb. which means to remember a period of time, usually fondly with a smile on your face. Oh, remember that time we did this and that. Reminiscing. And we reminisced our trip to Italy.
Yes.
South of Italy.
Which was amazing. You should all go. If you are already not from Italy, of course.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. It's certainly one of the most beautiful countries I've ever seen. See you guys next time for some more chatting about different topics in simple English. Remember, hit the bell and subscribe and leave a comment if you've ever been to Italy and tell us what you thought. Okay. And we will now go out.
Get a pizza.
Well, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I want a pizza now.
And you can get pizzas, which are okay, even in the small town of Sapa in Vietnam. Pizza is probably, from what I've seen, being to maybe 30, 40 countries, maybe the world's favorite food.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to make.
Yeah, and they love it here in Vietnam, that's for sure.
And you can put anything you want on it.
Yeah. So we're going to get a pizza here in Vietnam. Okay.
Goodbye.
See you guys later.
Bye-bye. All the best.